But I'd like to begin our reading in Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 5 through 22, and then I'll read some verses out of Genesis 7, verses 6 through 10, and 17 through 23. And then finally, our primary passage, Hebrews 11, 7. This is the Word of God, so give your full attention to it. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits. And its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds according to their kinds, of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind, two of every sort shall come into you to keep them alive. Also take with you every sort of food that is eaten and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. And then chapter 7, beginning at verse 6. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came upon the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Of clean animals and of animals that are not clean and of birds and of everything that creeps on the ground, two and two, male and female, went into the ark with Noah as God had commanded Noah. And after 7 days, the waters of the flood came upon the earth. And then down to verse 17. The flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. And all flesh died that moved on the earth. Birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. Now to Hebrews 11, 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Lord God, bless this day to us, the reading and preaching of your word. We know, we believe that your word, as you send it forth, does not return to you void, empty, but accomplishes its good purpose, your good purpose. And may your good purpose be in our hearing today, faith, the strengthening of our faith, and the working of salvation in those who do not yet believe. May your good purpose this day for us in the reading and preaching of your word be to lift up Christ before our eyes and draw us to him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You might have noticed, as we've been moving through chapter 11 of Hebrews, how the author has been moving through, leading us through the early chapters of Genesis, beginning right at the beginning with the creation of the world. And then moving forward and showing us example after example of the faith that he is encouraging you, the church of Jesus Christ in these last days, encouraging you to hold on to steadfastly maintain. Showing you examples of your faith in the Old Testament for the purpose of helping you to endure in that faith. He reminded us of Abel's testimony, Abel's faith, which gave witness to the world of a better sacrifice. Not only in that he chose to offer the proper sacrifice that was required, but in himself, in his faith, through his life, God bore witness to and through Abel and to us of the sacrifice of Christ. When Abel was struck down and murdered, Christ was proclaimed. The blood that speaks even better than the blood of Abel. Then he moved to Enoch. And spoke to us of Enoch's testimony. How Enoch walked with God. How Enoch walked by faith despite the drift of the world around him. That was putting down roots, that was building cities, that was exalting man. Enoch was on pilgrimage. Enoch was walking with God, seeing himself as an alien, as a stranger. And so God, by his faith, through Enoch's faith, in Enoch's life of faith, God bore witness to through Enoch to us, of a man taken up to be with God, of one who would enter into life everlasting, having overcome death itself. In other words, God bore witness in Enoch's life through Enoch's faith to Christ and to our hope, those who walk with God in this world. Now this morning, the example of Noah, spoken of here in one verse, verse 7 of this chapter. This example of Noah, in many ways, provides us with one of the most clear and powerful demonstrations of what the author of Hebrews has in mind when he was telling us in verse 1 that faith is the substance of the hoped for things, the evidence of things not seen. Remember the objective quality of that, the substance and the evidence. This is why we had a quibble about translations that read it assurance or confidence, which turns it subjective. There's an objective revelatory quality to the faith of the saints of the old, so that by their faith they received the substance of the things that they were hoping for, and their faith bore witness or evidence to the unseen things. Noah is an example of this writ large, very clear. In fact, the author, in order to strengthen in our minds that connection with what faith is in terms of its the substance and evidence, the objective character of it, he repeats the expression that he gave us in verse 1, here in verse 7, speaking of the unseen things. By faith, Noah perceiving and laying hold of unseen things. Now, the things that were not yet seen in Noah's case were the things about which Noah was warned by God. The unseen things were for Noah a revelation about the end of the world judgment that was coming. The end of this present age that was coming. This is what we heard when we read Genesis 6. It was the revelation of God in verse 13 when God said to Noah, "I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth." By faith, Noah received that word, that warning, this revelation concerning the judgment that was going to come. And by faith, Noah acted upon that revelation. He didn't see it, but his life was shaped by it. The substance of it was at work in his life. He set out, we were told, after he received that word. God said he's going to do something in the future. He set out after hearing that with what our passage calls a reverent fear, a godly fear. According to what God had revealed to him, he set out to provide a means of salvation for his house, though he did not know when that judgment was finally coming, and he did not see it. His faith wasn't dead. It wasn't inactive. It was lively. It was a faith that acted. It was a faith you could see at work in the man. And he acted upon that revelation he had received concerning the judgment that was coming, and also God's promise of salvation for him and for his family, for his household. God also promised not only that judgment was coming, but that he would save Noah and his family through that judgment in an ark. And by faith, Noah set out to build that ark. And we were told, even in the Genesis account, that in that way, Noah testified that he was righteous. He was blameless in his generation because he lived by faith and was an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith, as our passage tells us. And that faith, which believed God and acted upon what God had revealed, that faith would work in Noah's life a testimony, a witness that points to things yet to come beyond Noah's time, that points to things that we have heard in these last days. And we'll see how it does this. But let's back up and think about Noah, as we have been given revelation of Noah in Scripture. We're told that among all the people on earth, Noah alone was counted as righteous before God. in his generation, which turned out to be the last generation in those days, Noah alone was counted as blameless. Why? Because he trusted in God. He walked with God. He was a son of Enoch, who continued to walk in the way of God. He was not a son of Lamech and of the line of Cain that were building for themselves cities, permanent cities, and seeking to exalt their own names and shaking their fist at the Almighty God. Noah, like his forefathers, walked with God in faith, trusting in God for God to provide. But that other line, those who did not walk in faith, who did not believe and walk with God, that line had become so great, it had increased so greatly that wickedness filled all of the earth. And the line of the godly, the line of those who believed and walked with God, was more and more squeezed out, almost out of existence. It was reduced, in fact, as we are told, to one single man and to his house. The world that was then was a world filled with, we are told, violence and murder. The Lord looked out, and the iniquity of man was the cup of his iniquity, the cup of his sin was filled to the brim. And God determined in Noah's day that this world had reached a point in terms of its being filled with wickedness. It had reached a point that spoke to its being ripe for judgment. God warned, therefore, Noah, the one left who walked with God. He warned Noah of the impending flood of judgment that was going to come and destroy the world, destroy this age of evil men. And God revealed to Noah as well a way of escape from the judgment, a way of salvation, the ark. And Noah believed God concerning the judgment and concerning the salvation that God said he would provide. And Noah then walked with God by faith, despite the fact that the rest of the world around him would go on and continue as if the day of the Lord would never come, as if the judgment were not impending, as if they had all the time in the world. Noah believed, and he started building. You can imagine how foolish he would look to the rest of the world. Noah didn't care. He started building an ark, though there was not even a cloud in the sky. Noah acted by faith. He acted according to what our text calls a reverent fear. Now, when you take all of that, and then we remember what we've already heard and learned from how the author of Hebrews has been working us through these examples and how to understand and read the Old Testament and the examples that we've been given, we can summarize what's happening in Noah's life in this way. Noah, by faith, perceived realities that were not yet seen. And his faith put him in contact, and he enjoyed the substance of hoped-for things, salvation. Faith is the substance of the hope of the hoped for things, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, Noah perceived the end of the world judgment. He believed God concerning the world's end. He acted upon God's gracious revelation in the godly fear of faith, a faith that caused him to receive not only the revelation of judgment, but also the hope of salvation that God had promised, in which he did not see. And he persevered in that faith, despite the world around him living to the contrary and thinking him a fool. He persevered in that faith with the final result that he passed through the judgment that poured out, that was poured out upon the whole world, and he and his family came through it alive, safe. Our passage says that by his faith, faith that perceived unseen things, faith that laid hold of hoped for things and lived it out, acted accordingly. By that faith, it says, Noah condemned the world. For he was living in reverent fear. He was living by faith, which made him look like a crazy person. He lived in a way that was so manifestly contrary to the world around him, precisely because he was walking by faith in the revelation that God had given him. And to the world, that made him look insane. But in fact, what was his faith saying? Judgment's coming. And you don't believe it. Salvation has been promised. And you don't believe it. His faith then, in what was promised, in unseen things, his faith that was laying hold of hoped for things, his faith exhibited in the action of his building an ark, bore witness against the unbelief and apathy and wickedness of the world, and so condemned it. Because of this faith, by this faith, God is testifying that Noah is righteous, that Noah is on the right path, that Noah is an heir of the righteousness of God that comes by faith. What the author of Hebrews wants us to understand as we're thinking about Noah was that those things were written for our sakes. Those things that Noah did, his faith, as it's recorded for us, even the events of the judgment, the flood, those things testified to us, bear witness to things that we have heard, that we have seen in these last days. Through Noah, God is speaking of yet greater things to come. He's witnessing to events that would be revealed. He's ultimately speaking of the end of the world, the end of the world, and of the salvation that belongs to those who put their trust in God. God, as he has been revealed to us in these last days, in Jesus Christ. See, Noah, it's not an accident that it had all boiled down to one man. That there would be left in the world one righteous man. And that it would be by that one righteous man and his acting obediently in reverent fear by faith that salvation would come to the household of that man. It's not an accident. Noah, by his faith, through his faith, God is bearing witness through Noah to another captain of salvation, to one greater than Noah that would come, even Christ Jesus. Hebrews 2:10 already spoke about Christ in this regard. It said that it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation, the captain of their salvation, the pioneer of their salvation, perfect through suffering. Through judgment, you might say. And in chapter 5, beginning in verse 7, we hear it spoken again of Christ, that in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who is able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Same word used here in chapter 11 to speak of Noah's reverent fear. And although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Jesus offered up himself in godly fear so that he might secure salvation for his household, for his brethren. Again, we read in Hebrews 3:6, "But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope." So what are we hearing when we hear the story of Noah? When we look at Noah and we see his faith, what is God revealing in that? The Spirit is calling us to see the witness of Noah concerning Christ. And when we read the ark and of Noah and his household being brought through the judgment, saved through the judgment, the Holy Spirit would have us see Christ, who has secured for himself salvation, or for his people salvation in these last days, as judgment is impending. Judgment upon a world that is filled with wickedness and violence on every side. For the flood, if you want to understand what it is biblically speaking, what God is intending by telling us about the flood is just a picture of what's coming. The flood, we can say it's a type, it's a shadow, it's a foretaste of the judgment that's coming at the end of the world that will finally put an end to this world and to this evil age. Knowing by faith the unseen things of judgment coming, Noah set to action and built an ark according to the promise of God that he believed that would safely carry his house through the judgment into a new creation, a new age. And this is exactly what our Savior has done for us in these last days. God spoke to us in former times in diverse manners through the prophets. Through Noah, he revealed Christ to us in those ways. But in these last days, Christ himself has come prior to the judgment. And he is the one righteous man, the one blameless man left. But he becomes, by his righteousness, the source of salvation for all of those who trust in him. He becomes our ark, in whom we are carried safely through, not the flood of water, but the flood of fire at the end of the world. If we are his household, if we've put our trust in him, then we, like Noah's family, will survive. We will be saved. We will escape the judgment that is coming. See, the author of Hebrews is not merely setting these examples of faith before us so that we might just learn how to read our Bibles. He wants us to see so that we might hold fast to our faith. We might hold fast to Christ in faith. He wants us to see what living, active faith looks like in the life of Noah, who was trusting God and acting out of reverent fear. He wants us to do the same thing in these last days. He wants us to trust the promise of God, the revelation of God that's come to us in Jesus Christ. He wants us to trust in Him and hold fast to that trust in a world that thought our captain was insane, our Savior was insane, in a world that crucified Him. We are called to live holding fast to unseen things, to hope for things received by faith through the word of God spoken in these last days to us in Christ. Even though the world is going to look at you and think you're insane, or it's going to hate you for living in this way. Because like Noah, you also, by your faith, bear witness to the realities. The reality of judgment coming, and also to the reality of salvation given. Your life by faith bears witness to those things, the substance and evidence of them. And because of that, because they see that evidence in your life of unseen things, the substance of hoped for things worked out in your life, you are going to condemn them for their unbelief, for their wickedness. You don't even have to try to condemn them. It's just the way it is. This is one of the reasons they do not like the Church of Jesus Christ. It stands as a testimony against them, a witness against their wickedness. We're walking with God in reverent fear, knowing the end of the world is nigh and salvation is in Christ alone, and they're eating and drinking and being merry. Marrying and being given in marriage as though God had said nothing. That's your testimony that condemns the world. Unless they believe God's word, as you graciously have been given to believe God's word, they, like those in Noah's day, will perish. But Noah, the ark, the flood, again, all of these were God's former ways of revealing His Christ, His salvation, and the judgment that's coming. In these last days, we have something even more sure to hold on to for our faith. A more sure word. We have received a superior witness to the salvation that God has provided from the judgment in Christ Himself. But we see Jesus, the author said, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because He suffered death, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. So let us not, people of God, become slack. Let us not become lazy in our faith. Let us hold fast to what we have heard, to the ark of our salvation, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us live in reverent fear, manifesting our faith in Jesus Christ, bearing His image, and loving one another, in belonging to a church, in giving ourselves into the service of God by serving one another, by living out the reality that this is the household of God. This is the household that God is saving through Jesus Christ and will save through the judgment that's coming. Let's live that out by faith. And more as we see the day coming. Let's not grow slack in walking in reverent fear before God, putting to death the old things, the deeds of this world, the things that were tying us down. Put those things to death. Like Noah, live and act by faith. Live a reverent life of faith and fear before God. Because we are standing, people of God. Truly, we are standing on the threshold of the end of the world. God has said it's coming. God has already revealed in Christ Jesus the salvation and the judgment. Jesus, the greater than Noah, has come into the world and secured a way of salvation for his people. He himself is the ark that will bring us safely through the judgment into the land that God has promised, the new heavens, new earth. The wickedness of this present age, you know, the cup is almost full. And God's wrath is almost about to be poured out. The days are short. We do not know when the final day will come. But we need not fear it, nor need we be dismayed if we're trusting in the Son of God and living out that faith in reverent fear in the short time that remains to us in this world. The greater judgment is coming. But remember what Hebrews 6, beginning of verse 18, said, "We who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged." We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters into the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. He has already gone through the suffering. He has already gone through the judgment, even tasting death itself for us, so that we, as fellow heirs with him of righteousness by faith, might be brought safely into glory. Cling to him by faith, church. Act upon that faith. Live it out in reverent fear, remembering that this world and all of its wickedness is doomed. Lay hold of Christ by faith and walk in it, for that by that faith you will proclaim both the coming judgment and the salvation of God in Christ. And in that faith, you know that you have already received the substance of the hoped for things. You already know that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And you will pass through the judgment and enter into, once and for all, consummately, the life of the age to come. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for the testimony of our father Noah to the judgment and salvation that we have heard in these last days. We thank you that, like Noah, you have provided a ark of salvation for us in Jesus Christ. And as we cling to him steadfastly in this world and walk according to his word, we are, like Noah, building an ark. We are manifesting that we are heirs of righteousness, that we are those who are saved and will be saved. Father, we pray that our witness would be to some not only the savor of death or condemnation, but the savor of life. Father, use the witness of your people who cling to Jesus Christ by faith and walk in reverent fear. Use that witness to convict the world, to convict our neighbors, and graciously, by your Spirit, draw them to the Son of God. Open their eyes, open their hearts, that they might behold the judgment that's coming and the even more beautiful Savior that has been given. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.